Today on Compassion Radio.
We're very pleased, Bram, to have you as a leader in this movement to alert people to the fact that, yes, you too can do some good in this world. You don't have to just wring your hands at all the tragedies.
Yeah. In a world full of blessings and challenges, the kingdom of God is the steady rock that lives the gospel. And Compassion Radio is here to tell you all about it. But it doesn't stop there. There's not a bit of knowledge where God does not expect us to respond in godly, compassionate, and powerful ways. We're always after the story of God's people in action when it's needed the most. In kingdom terms, our guest today is a general and a diplomat, representing the best of the gospel and those who are willing to live it out. There's a lot in the news these days that looks really scary. It's going to take some calming, reassuring, and at the same time, some courageous voices to shake us out of our own navel-gazing and on to real kingdom work. Are you ready to jump in all the way? Oh, I hope so. And I think you'll be very glad you did. Welcome to Compassion Radio. On Compassion Radio today, we're welcoming back Dr. James Jennings of Conscious International. Jim, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Bram. I'm so glad to be in touch with you again and to be able to meet with you on the radio like this.
It's been a number of months since we've had a discussion publicly like this on the air, and I can't imagine a time more pregnant with reasons to be talking about important issues than what's happening around the world this week. I mean, from Afghanistan to Haiti, places where you have an intimate knowledge and involvement with, and we as Compassion Radio have a number of friendships and relationships that go back for decades. Those two countries are like anchoring our hearts in a deep sorrow this week, as I'm sure it is yours. I want to jump into the issue of Afghanistan right now because it's a live and ever-changing situation. It is not resolved yet. But when we think about Afghanistan, I want to get some perspective here because I'm encouraging Christians on how we could and should be praying for those who are being affected by the upheaval at the end of this war. So I want to invite you into that conversation. Jim, when you think of Afghanistan right now, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
For me, Afghanistan is a magnificently important country. It's sort of the buckle on the belt of all of Central Asia. I call it the cockpit of Asia because it's high country. All these countries surround it, like India, Pakistan, China, Russia, Uzbekistan. It has a history of empires going there to die.
Yeah, the graveyard of empires. Yeah, it's been said all the way since the time of Alexander the Great, I believe.
It starts with that, and his soldiers finally insisted on giving up and going back to Greece, to Macedonia, because they didn't want to go any further. And they had followed him loyally, but they finally rebelled. Even Alexander the Great was defeated by the mountains and by the tribal groups in Afghanistan.
We can say with some certainty here that those who don't learn from history repeat it, and it would be very snide to end on that statement and say that applies directly to what's happening in Afghanistan, but it is a very hard lesson to have to step into again. It is true that we stepped in the same place in almost the same way that Russia did back in 1980, and we in some ways got kicked out of there by tribesmen that managed to somehow, either through hearts and minds or through asymmetrical warfare, bring America and its entire resources and economy to its knees in their country. There's no denying the fact that we got beat there in many ways and that we missed many opportunities. But this is not a program about assessing a military conflict. What you and I are mostly concerned about is the eternal consequences of peoples as they come into their place in history. And this really is a fulcrum, a big moment in history for us. And it's going to have reverberations down for generations. And that's where my heart aches because you and I have seen so many good people serving as God would serve the people of Afghanistan in ways that they need to be served that are going to suffer for what's happening right now in that country.
Absolutely. And the sad part of all of this is the humanitarian crisis that has come upon us. It could have been prevented in some ways, but the end of the war, withdrawal of the United States forces, could not have been prevented. That has been evident for a very long time. And again, as you pointed out about the history, it's not just Alexander the Great. It's not just the Russians in the late 20th century who were defeated and had to withdraw, the mighty Soviet Union. But it was the British Empire, the greatest empire in the early 19th century, that went through in the 1840s and 1870s two similar debacles as Russia and the United States suffered in Afghanistan. And the bloodiest retreat of the British Army from Kabul to Jalalabad in 1842, I believe it was, that is one of the bloodiest things I've ever read. 15,000 people were slaughtered, men, women, and children. There were families of the British Army. And then the same happened with the British were foolish enough to go back in and try to establish Afghanistan. The key is that Afghanistan is not a country.
Yeah.
It's a territorial area with a lot of warring tribes. And the main one being the Pashtuns in the south, the Tajiks in the north, the Hazaras in the center. The Hazaras are Shiites. They're not Sunni Muslims.
Yeah.
And so they are going to be the target of what I fear might be a genocide in Afghanistan if nothing can restrain the Taliban. The generals who are experienced in that part of the world are saying that the Taliban have put on a new face, but they are not really any different than they were before, which is cruel, barbaric, to take the world back to the 9th or 10th century.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to get stuck just in the punditry of deciding in our own minds what we think is going to happen next and then proclaim some kind of defeat on everything, because you and I have stepped into places where the worst of mankind and their spirit has been expressed. There have been great evils that you and I have witnessed up close. And yet in the heart of those evils, in places that seem to be hopeless, God keeps showing up, and God's people keep showing up. And you have employed many of those people over the years to make a difference that is eternal, that changes the tide of history in the now. And that's where I have great hope, not just for the world in general, but specifically for people that would be the refugees, the downtrodden, the people that are most vulnerable right now in this conflict in Afghanistan. I believe that God's going to do something. I'm not sure how yet. But I want to hear you speak to how you've seen God step in ways that even you weren't expecting, and how that gives you hope for what's going to happen next in Afghanistan.
Well, I can tell you about an encounter in the border areas of Afghanistan, but others in Afghanistan itself, on the streets, helping the people with the soldiers of the Northern Alliance, with the soldiers that are wounded in the hospital in Herat, with the Red Cross teams flying into Bagram Air Base. We did surgery in the Indian hospital, in Diriganda Hospital for children in Kabul. We did surgery on children. We did surgery in Pakistan from some of the children wounded from that war. And we worked mainly with the refugees throughout. I want to say that the people themselves are lovely. They are simple. They are human beings. The ease of getting acquainted with them is amazing. And I know two friends who have been working there in recent years. Both of them cried when they had to leave Afghanistan because they loved the people there so much. So it has daunting challenges, both from the mountains, the snows, the deserts, the incredible landscapes. It's a beautiful country. But in the villages, there's a very great need, as you can see if you've seen any video reports from that country at all. And it's really better to go as civilians and try to work with them as non-governmental organizations, humanitarian aid organizations, than otherwise. One of the greatest that I know is an eye hospital there. They have actually four eye hospitals, and they have been supported or at least allowed by the Taliban in the past. And then when the war came, the Taliban wreaked their havoc upon them, and we had to stay in places that they had actually stripped all of the furniture and equipment out, so we slept on the floor.
Well, over the years, Jim, that's one of the distinctives I've noticed about Conscious International, is that when nobody seemed to understand why you would even think of going someplace, God's put a vision in you to look at a place in the world and say, I can see how God's redemptive power through his people is going to transform things from the inside out. And you send people and you go yourself, and you've been allowed to live to tell the tale. And that's why I want to get more active with you over the years to come, to tell those stories of how God put you in the right place at the right time when nobody else was brave enough to go there.
Not only me, but my beloved friend Norm Nelson, the leader of this program. Norm was so passionate about Afghanistan that he went there during a very tumultuous and dangerous period, took nurses with him, And he offered his help, along with Scheer, to the Northern Alliance commander, Dostum. And that lasted for a while, but he was given royal treatment because he was sincere in what he was trying to do. And that's the same that we've done in Afghanistan, all those cities I mentioned, Mazar-e-Sharif, Herat, Kabul, and then in the Pakistan border areas, where at one time during the 1980s, that was the place where the greatest number of refugees were in the world.
Yeah.
And we worked there for a long period of time. Those scenes are indelibly imprinted on my mind. The hungry people, the miserable conditions that they lived in, and their tenacity.
And tenacity in the best sense of the word, because when I read the comments on the social media streams, when they see pictures of airlifts of people being taken out of Afghanistan today, and just the huge amount of humanity crammed into military airplanes, you know, obviously people talk about the comparisons to things like the airlift at the end of the Saigon evacuation in Vietnam 40, 50 years ago, and what's going on right now in Afghanistan. I was deeply disturbed that most of the comments have to do with, well, look, it's just full of more terrorists. They're just bringing more problems to the West. And having been close to people that have been in situations that are running from the terrorists, you and I both see people that are the best of the best. The cream of the crop of a country has been saved and being brought to places of refuge. That, to me, is a victory story, not a threat. And yet the world seems to be consumed with seeing anybody, especially young men from countries they've not been to, as being by nature a threat. How do you respond to that?
That's just wrong, Bram, to label all the people in the country as if they were a militant terror group. And they're not. They may be ruled by people like that, but the vast majority of the people in Afghanistan, by far, and I've experienced this and you have, those people are just like you and me, and they have the same desires for their children. I think the Afghan physician who wrote the book The Kite Runner is a good example
yeah.
of that. If you read that book, which is very popular, it gives a story of life in Afghanistan. People who are pursuing normal goals.
Yeah.
Now, the group that is ruling right now is very dangerous and has a philosophy that wants to go back, as I said, to the 9th or 10th century. And they have done terrible atrocities. So those people have to be opposed. But the opportunity to work with the Afghan people, I think, will convince anybody that these people are sterling in terms of their character, their resilience, their goodwill, and their desire to live a normal life.
And I know that your people that you've deployed around the world, Jim, have been willing and able to set aside their own prejudices in order to step into places where they're willing to lay down their lives for people they've never met before. That's a discipline. That for me, is a spiritual maturity that says, my life is worth something, but it's not worth me hating other people or not serving them or not being like Christ. It will find its meaning, it will find its value in doing the thing that God calls us to do, and that's to live with a heart of conscience that's clean, that we haven't turned our back on the suffering around the world, and we've used the abilities and the resources that God has given us to make a difference and trust Him with the math.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build kingdom around the world. This year, we had the great privilege of celebrating our 78th anniversary in broadcast ministry. It's hard to believe that we've been on the air for almost 80 years. And in that time, of course, we've seen tremendous changes in the world. For most of that time, 74 years in fact, this ministry was in the steady hands of two solid men of God, both amazing Bible teachers, visionaries, and committed to seeing a redemptive worldview truly transform the world. Both Wilbur and Norm Nelson stretched their faith and the faith of their listening partners by urging them to not just listen, but to act on their faith. They inspired people just like you to take seriously God's call to build His kingdom around the world and to do it in ways proven to make a lasting difference. Friends, today we remain true to that vision, even at a time when COVID has shut down so many avenues we would normally use to gather stories and supply our kingdom family. We are prayerfully pursuing new opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
In the meantime, I'm going to ask you to earnestly and prayerfully consider what you can do right now to keep Compassion Radio viable and equipped to seize these new opportunities and to face the new challenges they present. As Compassion Radio, we're building out the plan as fast as we prudently can, and we're trusting that God will provide for the operational needs of this ministry through you as we do it. As Wilbur Nelson put it decades ago, when there's a need, seek God and tell His people. We're doing both. If you've never supported this ministry before, I'm asking you to do what you can today. If you have supported us in the past, please hear me when I say you are deeply appreciated and honored in our prayers each and every day. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do to keep Compassion Radio on the air and in the arena. Please, don't hesitate to give us a call or drop us a line today. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Our website is also available 24/7 to make your gift online. It's also the best way to catch up on any episodes you've missed. You can even share programs with your friends and family. To send your gift by mail, you can use the following address: Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you for your partnership with Compassion Radio. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
The kind of steely nerve that the people that you would deploy out there to do these works have demonstrated to me, and I've seen them in action. They're no fools, and they're no sheep. They walk in there with a very keen and sharp eye, and they know what's going on. But they still, by God's power, have the ability to love anybody. And they do it with their scalpels and with their words and with their comfort and with their time. They're going there to make the difference that Christ said to make. And that's why I'm so honored to be working with you.
Well, I've met with the Taliban, and I have been honored with the banquet, and I've been invited to their prayer sessions even, and met each one and shook hands with each one. And then when they started their ritual prayers, I walked away, I left. But the people themselves are genuine. You can talk with them.
Yeah.
The leadership that has led them into this faulty vision, even of their religion, into this terrorist trap, those people are the cause of this kind of trouble, the misinterpretation mm-hmm. of their own history. But the people themselves are wonderful. We've tried to work with them in the largest refugee camps. I took a man from the United States who had never been into Afghanistan or the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. We went to one of the largest refugee camps. We drove through. And he broke down and wept. He could not stand to see anymore, to look at how much suffering there was among these people. He had never seen anything like it. So I think that most of us in the Western world don't really understand what it's like to be baked at 110 degrees under a canvas tent on this desert mud flats, or suffer in the cold of the mountains and be snowed in for the whole winter up in the mountains, as some of the tribes have had to do.
I remember after one of the last trips that Norm was able to take into the northern part of Afghanistan, shortly after the beginning of the war against the Taliban, having to come through a night where four or five people in cars adjacent to them were frozen to death because the traffic couldn't move and the temperature dropped well below zero. And just have to accept the fact that death may come for me, but no matter what happens, if I survive this, death will never leave me from what I've experienced here. The experience will go with you the rest of your life. And you have shown the way that, obviously, we learn compassion by being exposed to reasons to be compassionate. And when it's in your face, you have a choice to make, either to be completely sociopathic and not care about anybody anytime, or to enter into the sufferings of Christ and say, this is the kind of stuff that makes us tender to the things of God. And you've gone those places. You become that kind of person because you've been there. But we still both have this problem. How do we talk with people in churches back here in America that go to Sunday services, they hear the news that there's suffering going on in Afghanistan, but they've never touched it, tasted it, or gone with us to the front lines? How do we get across to them something that will click so that when they hear our words, it's enough for them to say, okay, God, I want to know more about what you believe, what you want for the people of Afghanistan.
I think people can understand if there's a direct contact. It's reaching out and touching someone or providing what they are in need of. And that's what we're doing on the ground. And we're very pleased, Bram, to have you as a leader in this movement to alert people to the fact that, yes, you too can do some good in this world. You don't have to just wring your hands at all the tragedies.
Yeah. Well, in fact, Cher, our chairman of the board right now, is very active in trying to track down any way to get a certain person out of Afghanistan that worked with she and Norm, you know, 20 years ago. And he's been working on all kinds of development projects. And he's stuck there. But they haven't been able to reach him for the past 12 hours. And it is breaking her heart.
I think there are going to be some tragic stories that come out of this whole episode. And yet, I think it's important to remember that this is not the end. This
no.
is
Amen.
The beginning of something that can be a great progress and a great impact on the people of Afghanistan, depending on what we do.
Okay, Jim, as we turn the corner toward the end of this particular program, I want to talk about the kinds of things that are always needed in these situations, the things that you have been asked to come in and do with your teams from Conscious International time after time. At the end of a conflict like this, with great dislocations and great medical needs and social and welfare needs that come because of these conflicts and the breakdown of economies, the fear, the panic, what do you do? What does Conscious International tend to be involved with from the get-go?
Well, if we're dealing with refugee flows, it's a huge problem, and shelter is the number one thing. They have to find a place where they can sit down, be out of the sun, and take a rest, because some of them have fled, and the women walked. I remember Norm and I were in Darfur, Sudan, and some of the people said that he had carried his mother across the desert sands for 50 miles
wow.
barefooted. He carried her because she couldn't walk. These kinds of things are amazing. So to be able to get in direct touch with the people, you provide shelter, you provide water, food, sanitation capability, and then you go from there. When we get established on the ground, we do trauma counseling because many of them have post-traumatic stress, and that has to be dealt with as if you've, for example, seen your village destroyed, your church burned, and the males in the village slaughtered, even 100 at a time, as in Nigeria. That's a need for counseling for the survivors.
Yeah.
They need trauma counseling.
So you stepped into that. Now, I got to ask, though, when people are going to ask me, what's the difference? There's World Vision out there. There are the UNHCR that deals with those kind of issues. Why you? Why Conscious International at a time when there are multinational organizations that should be doing that job?
We want to model the commands of the gospel. We want people to see, as Jesus said and St. Paul said, follow me, model me. We want to give this image of being able to do the kinds of things. And we do an astonishing amount of work for an astonishing small amount of money.
Yeah,
so
indeed.
I usually say to people, $1, we can triple it if we get a container of medicine that's worth $500,000 and send it. Enough for us to pay for that at $50,000. That doubles and triples the money. We do that by having local teams as well, as we're doing right now. On Friday the 13th, the earthquake hit Le Caisse in Haiti, where we've been working for several years. They're saying now 1,400 people have been killed and 14,000 houses destroyed, but they still haven't dug in the ruins and found all the people yet. So we're going there with water purification, with medical packs that can assist the hospitals, and then we get into water, shelter, sanitation.
Now, Jim, that was a good pivot to the next story, and I want to come back on our next program and talk specifically about what's happening with Haiti, because that was all happening at the same time as the world attention was over in the Middle East and Central Asia. And in our back door, right below us here in the Caribbean, maybe 200 miles offshore, here is a nation that has gone through unbelievable suffering numerous times in the past few years, and you and Compassion Radio were involved in all of it. So let's explore that in our next program. Jim, thanks so much for beginning to open our hearts again, not just to compassion, but to hope that comes from people that are willing to act in compassion.
Yes, thank you.
Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478. 2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.